Hi all, it's Pastor Matt Kennedy here, looking forward to delving into the Word of God with you. Bernie Zilbergeld, author of Homemade, an expert on male sexuality, said, "I am steadfastly for monogamy. Adultery is almost certainly going to make a dent in the trust and intimacy, and in many cases I've known, it has destroyed them altogether. A woman or man who is conducting a secret affair has to become deliberately deceitful, like a CIA agent or a spy. She can't just come home and spill forth the events of her day. She's got to think, what can I safely talk about? And what have I got to keep to myself?" So even when the infidelity isn't discovered, it changes who you are. A person goes from being a candid, open human being to a secretive, hidden one. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you would be with us as we look at this word. Lord, that you would speak through me, that you would give me the words to speak, and Lord, that you would give all of us the ears to hear. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So yeah, I'd like to welcome everyone to the next part of our Bible series as we work our way through the Ten Commandments. So we're on the downward slope, so to speak, this week as we're going to be looking at commandment number 7. Can you guess what that is? Exodus 20:14, "You shall not commit adultery." Again, this should be an interesting commandment for us to sink our teeth into. When dealing with adultery in our wider society, I was interested to find that surveys conducted worldwide came back with a major disapproval for adultery in nearly every country that was surveyed. A survey of 40 countries came back saying that over 75% of people who responded regarded adultery as being unacceptable. For us here in Australia, it was 79% who thought that adultery was unacceptable. In another study, 59% of Italian men and 35% of Italian women admitted to betraying their spouse or partner at least once, while almost half of British men and one-fifth of British women admit to cheating on their partner at least once. It was concluded in one of the studies that marriage is no longer the permanent or sacred institution that it was a century ago. Such violations of personal commitment contribute to the eroding trust in society. Don't we see that today? So before we go too much further, I'm wanting to look at what actually is adultery. How do you define it? Well, Nelson's Bible Dictionary describes it as being willful sexual intercourse with somebody other than one's husband or wife. Adultery in this sense is the breaking of the marriage covenant that has been made between the husband and the wife. Now, for many of us, we can tick this box off and go, "Woohoo, I've nailed this commandment. I've never cheated on my spouse sexually." But just when we thought we had this covered, Jesus explains again a growing principle that God looks at, that he looks not only at the actions of a person, but he also looks at their heart. So Jesus expanded the meaning of adultery to include what has been described as the cultivation of lust. When he said in Matthew 5:28, "Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So last week, Jesus tells us that our anger with somebody else is the equivalent of murder. And this week we see that just to look at somebody other than our spouse with lustful intent is the equivalent of committing physical adultery. Again, Jesus points us back to our heart. Where is our heart in this matter? How can we truly love and honor our spouse if we're flirting with or being sexually inappropriate with somebody else? If we're looking at pornography in any of its forms, then we are dishonoring both our own relationship with our spouse or future spouse, as well as with God, who has called for us to avoid sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own bodies in a way that is holy and honorable, not in a passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God." When we marry someone, we're making before God a commitment to the other person for life. I read recently that "I am" is reportedly the shortest sentence in the English language, and that "I do" is the longest sentence. Well, it might be a bit harsh, a bit of a harsh assessment, but there is a grain of truth in that understanding, isn't there? The fact is that when we marry somebody, we're binding ourselves to that person. But it's not just a physical bond, it's also a spiritual bond as well. And it's a covenant between one man and one woman that lasts until death do us part. God takes the covenant of marriage very seriously, and so should we. When we read the Bible, we can see how God uses the picture of marriage to illustrate his relationship with his chosen people. In the New Testament, we see the same picture being formed between Jesus, who is the bridegroom, and the church, who is described as his bride. This is one of the reasons why that we should hold marriage in its sacred form up and not compromise either the basis of the marriage covenant between one man and one woman, and why the marriage covenant should be held up and honored and never broken through adultery. Okay, so when we look at this commandment, what's the revelation about God that we receive? What insight does this commandment give us into the character of God? Well, actually, it gives us enormous insight into the character of God, but we're only going to hone into a number of aspects of this. We're not going to look at all of them, and I apologize up front. This is a topic that's way too big for me to be able to hit every part of. Firstly, this commandment tells us that God takes the adulterous actions of an unfaithful husband or wife personally. King David described his adulterous behavior in Psalm 51:4 when he says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." Joseph, when being enticed by Potiphar's wife to commit adultery, refuses and says in Genesis 39:9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" We see when we sin, God sees it as being specifically against him, as we snub our nose at him, ignoring and rebelling against his will for our life. Secondly, this commandment tells us that God values the covenant of marriage, and he values the act of sex. Both marriage and sex are a construct of God. It was God's design, and they went hand in hand with one another. In God's perfect design, sex was to take the place in the safety and confines of the marriage bed under the covenant of marriage. Sex or sexual behavior has no other legitimate avenue of expression. Sex in marriage is how it was always designed to be. Thirdly, this tells us that God values the entire family unit. Marriage is meant to be a place of safety and trust, a place where each member of the family is honored and valued and comforted, a place where children can be brought up by both their mum and their dad in a safe and loving, God-honoring environment. Adultery can and often will destroy everything that the family was meant to be and stand for. Fourthly, adultery is a sin that not only destroys external relationships, but it also defiles the person involved. The Apostle Paul speaks of the seriousness of this particular sin in 1 Corinthians 6:18. "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body." Sexual sin, adultery, is especially heinous in that all other sin is done outside of your body, so to speak, but sexual sin has an effect in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:16 to 17 tells us, "Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." When two people are joined together sexually, there is a spiritual bond that is formed between the two people. This can happen before you were married, or also if you were to have a sexual relationship with somebody outside of your marriage. Either way, this bond happens. It is a spiritual bond that needs to be dealt with so that your marriage can be strengthened. Don't be confused with the difference between being forgiven and the ongoing consequence of sin. What do I mean by that? It's worth just touching on this for a bit. As Christians, we can repent of our sin and ask for forgiveness of our sin, can't we? And by the grace of God, through the work of Jesus on the cross, we will receive that forgiveness, which is obviously an absolutely wonderful thing. It is the sin that separates us from God, and forgiveness brings us and reconnects that relationship with Him. But while we are forgiven for our sins, it doesn't mean that the consequences of our sins have miraculously been removed. For example, if you were to get pregnant because of an act of adultery, being forgiven doesn't remove the pregnancy or the child. You still have the consequence of the sin to deal with. In this instance, forgiveness of the sin does not, for one instance, break the spiritual bond that is being formed between you and the person or the persons that you have committed adultery with. Those spiritual bonds are still intact. While a child or STDs or a broken relationship could be the physical consequence of adultery, so too are the spiritual consequences of the act of adultery. The good news, though, is that even with these illegitimate bonds, even they can be broken and healed, and the adulterer set free from this spiritual consequence of adultery. Other consequences may not be reversed, but this one is one that can be. So now we have to look at, so now we've looked at some of the insights that this command gives us about the character of God. What's the confrontation for us? What insight does this command now give to us about our own character? Well, this command reiterates that God's best design for us is to keep all sexual encounters confined to the institution of marriage. If you choose to be single, that's absolutely fantastic. But ensure that you stay sexually pure in your singleness. Be single and pure of heart and action for the Lord. If you choose to enter the covenant of marriage with another person, then ensure that that marriage bed is kept pure. Do not dishonor the vow made before God by committing adultery. Don't dishonor and hurt your spouse through your own self-absorbing, self-gratifying, and self-destructing acts of adultery. Look, when Satan looks to attack Christians, one of the juiciest targets that he will aim for is our relationships, with your marriage at the top of his hit list. Absolutely. Satan knows that if he can damage or destroy your marriage through adultery, then he would have successfully impacted and disrupted the lives of many people. It's a very quick way to ruin everything that you may have achieved or had in life. Satan knows that the flow-on effect of adultery is dramatic, and that if he's successful in destroying the family unit, then he will have solid inroads into making the church and its witness ineffective. Satan knows that he's lost the war, but he's still doing everything that he possibly can to win as many battles along the way to his own destruction as he can, as he waits for that final judgment. So with this knowledge, what then is our instruction? What does this commandment mean that we should do or do differently under the grace of our God? And I'm going to be a little bit repetitive here. Forgive me for that. But this commandment actually encourages us to do a number of things. But I'm going to list three key things here that I would recommend that we as believers should be doing to guard against the breaking of this command. First advice I can give is, if you have started down this track or have been thinking about committing adultery, is to stop now. Get off that road to destruction. If you are single and considering having sex outside of marriage, then you are entertaining adultery. You are committing it first against God, and secondly against your future husband or wife, and thirdly against the future husband or wife of the person that you intend to commit adultery with. You will be damaging that person that you are with, and you'll be damaging yourself. Just don't do it. It will end in pain and shame, and there are always consequences of our sins, and sexual sin is especially heinous. Keep your sexual relations to the marriage bed. Hebrews 13:4 tells us the marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. As we can see here, God takes this sin seriously. It's just not worth involving yourself in any form of adultery. It comes with a price tag, or of pain and suffering, brokenness, destruction, mistrust, shame and dishonor. And I haven't even started on the lifelong impact it will have on your kids if you have them. The scars will run deep and wide. Just don't do it. Guard your heart from doing the wrong thing. If you're already on that road, get off it. Proverbs 6:27-29 says, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." If you do this, don't be fooled. You will be under the judgment of God. There will be consequences. Think about the consequences that David had to deal with after he slept with Bathsheba. He was separated from God. It cost him his son, and ultimately it had a devastating effect on his family further on down the track. Instead, recommit yourself to your spouse. Honor your marriage vows. Work hard at them. God took them seriously. So should you. Second thing is to remove yourself from any compromising situations that you find yourself in, or don't get into any compromising situations to start with. Joseph gives us the best advice in this situation with Potiphar's wife when she tried to get Joseph to sleep with her. Genesis 39:12, she caught him by the garment saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and he got out of the house. And there, my friend, is the best advice that can ever be given. If you find yourself in a compromising position, flee from it. Flee from it as if Satan and a host of his demons were chasing you. Get out of there, quick smart. Harmless flirting, it's a fallacy. Don't try and push things through to their limits. Instead, do what Joseph did and run. The third, have an accountability partner. Get alongside someone you trust, or even a number of people that you trust, and keep each other accountable. Be upfront and honest with them about your struggles. If you're struggling with pornography, then get people alongside of you to help you and to keep you to account. Not only is pornography damaging to you and your spouse or your future spouse, but it'll often lead you further down that adulterous track than you probably ever wanted or intended. Take whatever measures you have to guard yourself against pornography. If your computer's an issue, put a filter on it or use an accountability program which notifies others if you've been visiting questionable sites. And place your computer in the family area where you are more accountable. Don't buy, hire, or watch questionable movies or TV shows or magazines. Do whatever you can to break the habit if it's a habit for you. Pornography is destructive on more levels than you or I will ever know, as it darkens your heart with desire and feelings that cannot ever be truly fulfilled by another person. Adultery is Satan's honey trap. It looks enticing from the outside, but it destroys your soul and damages every other relationship that you have, especially with those that are most important to you. Lastly, but certainly not least, read your Bible and pray. If you wish to overcome the temptations that confront you, you're going to need the help from the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you be strong and faithful to both Him and your spouse or future spouse. Spend time in the Word of God. Put your concerns, your issues, your struggles to God in prayer. Surround yourself with godly men if you're a bloke, or godly women if you're a lady. You will need to be active and intentional about this to win. The best advice that anyone can give is that prevention is better than cure. That's why God has the many commandments that He has. You shall not commit adultery. He hasn't put it there because He's a killjoy or because He has something against people having sex. He has put it there to protect you at every stage in your life. When you're single, when you're young, through to when you're old, when you're married. So many more areas we could look at, but let me just touch on one more. You might be sitting there listening to the sermon and thinking to yourself, well, what about me? I've already broken this commandment. What does this mean for me? I can only be a virgin once. When it's lost, I can't reclaim it. Once I've cheated on my spouse, I can't turn the clock back to fix it, even if I really wanted to. Is there any hope? Is there any way to get right again with God? If this is you, if you've already committed adultery or are currently committing adultery, then first, best thing you can do, again, is stop. Stop and repent. There might not be much that you can do about the consequences of your actions. They will be varied and many. But to continue sinning against God and your spouse or future spouse, it's just not an option. The good news in all of this, though, is that at the very least, you can put things right with God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the starting point on the road back from destruction. And finally, for us, what's the promise? What's the promise that we receive here? Well, we know, as we've already seen, that if we follow God's instruction in this area, then it will save us from a myriad of negative and destructive consequences. From violating our relationship with Jesus, that all-important relationship, who has given his life so that you and I could live. In this, we would be held account by God for our actions and will have to face Jesus on Judgment Day with the knowledge that for cheap gratification, we trampled his blood underfoot. Instead of bringing glory and honor to God and his son Jesus, it would mar our witness and bring dishonor to the God we claim to serve. It also can destroy our relationships and dishonors with our partner with whom we have entered into the covenant of marriage with, losing their trust and potentially our marriage. It would also greatly impact any children in the marriage as they see the disrespect and the untrustworthiness, sorrow, anger and despair that would have an effect on their lives and their own future relationships, possibly forever. This is not even looking at the wider consequences, as I've said. It will have on the family, friends, work colleagues, acquaintances, the ministry and effectiveness of the church, and the impact of the church family. Financial destruction, embarrassment, shame, disheartening others, causing and encouraging others to stumble, and the list goes on and on. But finally, in amongst all of this, there is hope for the fallen. For those who have broken this commandment and have committed adultery in one of its forms, then all is not lost. Our God loves you and he has provided a way back to himself. While you might have to bear the consequences of your sin, God still has provided a way for you to step out of your sinful lifestyle and find forgiveness, at least with him. You see, when Jesus died, he did so out of love for you. Even when you sin by committing adultery, you are not beyond the redemptive power and forgiveness of our Lord. If you have fallen in this area, if you've violated this command, then the good news in an otherwise sea of tragedy is that through Jesus, you can find forgiveness and restoration, full restoration with God. If this is you, then repent of your sin, turn from your evil ways and ask God to forgive you through his son Jesus. Forgiveness is there for the taking. Restoration of relationship with God is still on offer. That's the power of the love of Jesus. Do you need that forgiveness? Do you need that love? Come now to the foot of the cross and confess to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just ask that for each of us that you would touch our hearts with this message. Lord, for anyone who is struggling with adultery, anyone who is in the act of committing adultery, Lord, or thinking about it, Lord, I just ask that you would strengthen their resolve not to. Lord, that you would strengthen their resolve to, if they are currently in that, Lord, that they would step away, that they would just stop, that they would stop from doing this. Lord, you are such a loving God, and we thank you for this, that there is, Lord, that with this sin, the sin of adultery, even that, Lord, you are able to bring restoration to that person, that they can find forgiveness for their sin through Jesus. Lord, I just ask that for each of us, Lord, that we would be able to search our hearts, that you would help us to strengthen our marriages, Lord. For if we're single, Lord, that you would give us resolve to stay sexually pure, to stay pure for either our future spouse, Lord, or pure for you, Lord, in our singleness. Whatever our circumstances, Lord, I just ask that you would help us in this. Keep us strong as Christians, as followers of you. Lord, I just ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen.